Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 121.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant at Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Dixon. We ask our members and our guests in the gallery to stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance that will be following the prayer. Representative Dixon.
Our kind Father in heaven, we pause for a moment before this legislative session and give thee thanks for this beautiful building that we have to meet in, for the nice facilities that we have here, and for the custodians and others who care for this building and make it pleasant for us to work in. We're also thankful, Father, for the freedom, for the liberties that we enjoy to assemble here together. We thank thee for that which is done, has been done before us by our founding fathers and others who sacrificed of their necessities so that we might serve here. We ask thee, Heavenly Father, that inasmuch as many of our children and grandchildren have recently gone back to school, that thou will see fit to bless them and their families and their teachers and all who have responsibilities for them. We also ask, Father, that we received a sufficient portion of thy blessings that we might be able to conduct our business here in a manner that will be pleasing unto thee and beneficial to the citizens of North Carolina. And we pray for this in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for August 27th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for August 27th to be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. For what purpose, the lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler Rice?
For a brief moment of personal privilege.
Okay, just a moment. House will come to order. Lady has the floor.
Colleagues, I have placed on your desk a memorandum and pertinent information about something that is terribly toxic and dangerous called cyanobacteria. Now, I hope you've never heard of this thing, but recently constituents in my district lost three mature adult dogs to this toxic poison within hours. They were exposed to an algal bloom in this pond that for all the world looked clear and clean. And I'd like for you to take these materials, please, to heart. Put them in your newsletters. Let the public understand that this is a very real risk now with when drought conditions arise and storm retention ponds can possibly have this very toxic material in it. So I thought this was a good way to radiate this out throughout the state. I hope you'll share it with your friends and family and constituents. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, ma'am. Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren recognized to send forth the committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren, Finance Committee report. House Bill 852, Historic School Preservation Act, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitute, re-referred to committee on rules, calendar, operations of the House.
House Bill 1008, Real Property Donation Tax Credit, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitute is re-referred to the committee on rules, calendar, and operations of the House. Members of the Chair, Mr. Clerk, Chair is going to direct that all bills and other matters transmitted by the House today will be sent by special messenger to the Senate and to the Governor today and tomorrow. House Bill 555, Corker Reed.
Representatives Dobson, White, Sane, and Lambeth, House Bill 555, a bill to be entitled an act to appropriate funds for the implementation of Medicaid transformation and to make other Medicaid transformation related changes. General Senator of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I make a motion that we concur House Bill 555 that the Senate passed over to us.
The gentleman has moved the House to concur with the bill, and the gentleman is recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. Medicaid transformation has been something this chamber's worked on for a number of years, going back to 2013-14, and we passed the bill in 2015. HHS has been in the process of implementing transformation of our current Medicaid program to a very creative and innovative program that will function very well and save the state money and improve the quality of Medicaid across our state. What this bill does is nothing more than what was in our budget that has been delayed, but we need to move forward with providing the Secretary and HHS the tools they need to keep transformation on schedule or as close to schedule as possible. So this is a bill that simply allows the funding that needs to be done, the transition that needs to occur, also providing new rules for managed care under Medicaid. There's nothing new in this bill. There is no Medicaid expansion in this bill. This is just to enable us to do Medicaid transformation that we've all agreed to and approved in the past. This will enable us to move forward. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose the lady from Wake, Representative Adcock, rise?
To debate the bill.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I'm going to ask you to vote no on this bill. I agree with Representative Lambeth that we need to move forward with Medicaid transformation. We've made some progress. We need to make more. My fear is that this bill is not the way to do it. It's a piecemeal approach rather than the holistic approach that we need to take for something that this is this critical for over 2 million Medicaid recipients in our state. I would ask you to please vote red.
What purpose, gentlemen, for sight? Representative Lambeth, rise.
Mr. Speaker, could I respond to that comment that was made?
The gentleman is recognized. Debate the motion a second time.
I agree totally. This isn't the way to do it. The way to do it was through the budget that we had, that we passed out of this chamber that's being held up. But we don't have a budget. And I don't think we want to hold up transformation that has managed care organizations ready to go, that has the Secretary at HHS ready to go, and therefore I recommend that we vote green and keep this process moving forward. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman Rice.
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I will confess that a lot of times I don't understand all this stuff that well, but my wife, who serves in my LA now, has been a medical secretary most of her adult life. And, of course, she tells me time after time that the biggest problem we have with medical care is insurance. But she looked over this and helped kind of explain it to me a little better. And my number one constituent approves of this bill, so I'm going to vote for it. Thank you.
What purpose the lady from Wake, Representative Adcock, rise?
To debate the bill a second time.
Please recognize to debate the bill a second time.
Thank you very much. I just want to point out to the members that, yes, it's true that this is the one vehicle before us to achieve Medicaid expansion, and another way would have been the budget. But that budget doesn't include everything that would make Medicaid transformation more successful. I'll just point out that we know that Medicaid transformation is going to at least initially hurt hospitals' bottom line, and that's why we need a comprehensive health care package that includes things like expansion and other things that will shore up our hospitals. Again, I would urge you to vote red on this bill.
Further discussion, further debate, not the question for the House, is the adoption of the Senate motion to concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 555. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk, lot machine, record the vote. 59, having voted in the affirmative, 53 in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 555. The bill remains on the calendar. For what purpose, gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Beasley Rice?
To be recorded as voting no on the previous question.
Is that on 555, would you only be recorded as having voted no on the concurrence motion on House Bill 555? House Bill 609, Clerk will read.
Representatives McNeil, Faircloth, Rena Turner, and Richardson, House Bill 609, a bill to be entitled an act awarding legislatively mandated salary increases and special annual leave to state adult correctional facility employees. General Assembly, North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move that we adopt the conference report for House Bill 609.
The gentleman's moved the House to adopt the conference report to House Bill 609. The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion. Actually, it's a motion. It would be a motion for concurrence, Chair. Apologize. Is that what the gentleman meant?
That is what I meant.
Motion to concur. And now the gentleman's recognized to debate the motion concur.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The good budget that the House passed was vetoed, and that budget included a lot of good raises and other things. One of those was the raises for correctional officers. It is unfortunate that we have to come back in this format and pass 609 as a mini budget, I guess you'd say, but I feel like the brave men and women that serve in our state's prisons deserve these raises, and I would appreciate that you would give support for this bill and give them raises that they deserve.
For what purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson Rice?
Speak on the conference report.
Gentleman has four.
Ladies and gentlemen, I agree with Chairman McNeil, I think this is a great bill, and I'm glad we're able to vote on it today. The men and women who work in our corrections department risk their lives every day. They're deserving of a raise. This is not the part of the budget that any of us had a problem with. In fact, this right here, that same language we agreed to 51 days ago, and hadn't had one single counter or compromise offer. But as I've told you before, there is indeed no Medicaid ultimatum. This is a thing we agree on. We're here today. We're happy to pass this. So I'd encourage all my members to vote yes.
For what purpose, gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith, rise.
Speak on the concurrence.
Gentleman has four.
As a former member of the United States Army, when I left the military, I became a correctional officer, and I have worn that uniform. I've worked in the state prisons here in the state of North Carolina. I was also a probation parole officer. And I stand before you today and say that this is absolutely something that we should support 100%. And I appreciate you all supporting this bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House, the adoption of the, the motion to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 609. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will have machine record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 609. Bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Senate Bill 553, Corker Reed.
Senator Sanders, Senator Wells, Senate Bill 553, Regulatory Reform Act of 2019, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Members of the Chair will suspend Rule 12D for the day. Gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House adopt the conference report for Senate Bill 553, Regulatory Reform Act of 2019, and would like to speak to the motion.
The gentleman has moved that the House to adopt the conference report to Senate Bill 553, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends, Senate Bill 553 has returned back to the House after a lengthy stay over in conference committee. You may remember back on July 8th, it passed the House 99-19. And what I'd like to do is just give you a brief summary of things that were added on its journey, things that were taken out, and a few small modifications. So let's take the five items that were removed since you last saw this bill. The modify the real estate licensure requirements for timeshare salespeople, that was taken out because that has passed in another bill. The adoption of the 2017 food code was also taken out for the same reason, that was passed in another bill. The interior design study bill was taken out, which causes me great grief because I have a special place for the interior designers and legislation I've been working on, but that study is out of this bill. The section regarding stand-up scooters and defining them has been removed, and the recycling study has been taken out. Three sections were just very lightly modified in their language. Number seven, section seven, the NC pre-K options, it just ensures that every parent is given information on how to access the listing of available K kindergarten opportunities for their children, either through online and through the portal that'll be created for that. So just a very small language change, does not change the essence or the intent of that portion. Section 20, I think we changed the effective date on the voting systems performance bond to be when the bill passes. And then lastly, section 24, you may remember it as a DOT study to review access for emergency personnel and vehicles to major interstates and highways. We've simply changed that. It will be emergency management study and not DOT. Now, the five items that are new. Section 13, amend septic tank site suitability. This allows a local jurisdiction to go ahead and approve a septic system as long as it meets specific criteria that I would like to read for you, if I can find the right paper. If the system can be installed so that effluent will be non-pathogenic, non-infectious, non-toxic, and non-hazardous, if the effluent will not contaminate groundwater or surface water, and if the effluent will not be exposed on the ground surface or discharged to surface waters where it could come into contact with people, animals, or other vectors. That's a new section. Section 14, waste, water, and water public enterprise reform. This seeks to put in language that will allow the either dissolution or the merging of different water and wastewater systems in our state. Some that are distressed, this allows them a means of keeping up the service by maybe merging with a larger group. Section 26 allows certain uses in flood hazard areas with NRRI certifications. This is existing law where we allow a variety of enterprises to take place within floodplains. All that's being added here is the venture of aquaculture. That's it, just aquaculture. 27, insurance cancellation proof of mailing. This simply clarifies existing law, moves that a proof of a mailing of cancellation moves it from one part of the text to a standalone line item in the statutes. And lastly, Hurricane Florence flooding, that is Section 28, and this has specifically been asked for by our Department of Agriculture. So thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd be happy to try to take any questions at this time.
For what purpose the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To briefly debate the bill.
Please recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Thank you, Representative Riddell, for that very thorough explanation. I appreciate the fact that this reg reform bill is nothing like several of the reg reform bills we've seen in the past that have had significant rollbacks of environmental protections, but it is not without its rollback of environmental protections. There are several in here. Several of these were in this bill when we voted no. Several of us voted no in on second and third reading. I would just note that we are weakening our air quality protections by exempting a couple more counties from the emissions requirements. We are also loosening compliance on life of site landfill permits. I think that this issue was raised on second and third reading also about the Charlotte Motor Speedway getting access to the orphaned, the hazardous waste site fund, which is for orphan landfills where there is either not a responsible party or the responsible party is bankrupt. And that money is a priority for cleaning up those landfills. I think that Charlotte Motor Speedway probably should be included in that category. And this new Section 26, while it is a shadow of its former self, it was a significantly more problematic. It still expands uses of the floodplain, which I don't know that we should be doing in this era of heightened storms. So in the context of all the bad stuff we've done, this isn't horrible, but I would submit to you in the context of the 9 years of environmental rollbacks, this is yet more death by a thousand cuts. So I encourage you to vote no. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise.
See if the bill sponsored answer a couple questions.
Representative Riddell, gentlemen yield.
I do.
He yields.
The Section 20, the voting systems performance bond, do we know how many vendors there are in North Carolina that can meet that $10 million requirement?
Thank you for the question, Representative Speciale. That is not a question I can give you a ready answer to at this moment, but I'm sure we can find out from staff.
Jim, I have additional questions.
Sir. Well, maybe for the elections chair.
Representative Lewis, gentlemen, yield to a question from Representative Speciale.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Do you know how many vendors there are in North Carolina that can meet that $10 million vendor voting system performance bond that we have in here? In Section 20.
Representative Speciale, I apologize to you, sir. I was not where I should have been in paying attention to what was being discussed. Would you direct me again to what page and line we're on? I apologize.
I'm on page 19, 35, lines 35 through 37. It talks about a performance bond, and on line 50, it refers to it as a $10 million bond.
Mr. Speaker, would the gentleman let me have just a moment to figure out, and I'll try to yield to his question.
We'll do that. I'll let someone else speak, and then I'll come back in just a few moments.
I have one further question for the bill sponsor.
All right, Representative Dale, gentlemen yield.
Section 23, permits, ABC permits. Is this a change? This 2,000 seat, is that a change from what we had already passed, allowing it at stadiums that have 2,000 or more seats?
It is more prescriptive language to make sure that it applies to one institution, and if possibly Representative Zoka might want to offer some information on this matter.
You want to? For purpose, General from Osley, Representative Cleveland, rise.
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Dale, gentlemen, yield.
No way. Yes, I yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Section 19, it appears that we're going to give limited vehicle plates, registration plates, to individuals who owe fines and whatnot under, I guess there's four or five sections in there. One of them is not having insurance, and I'm curious if you have any rationale why that was stuck in there.
Thank you for the question, Representative Cleveland. I thought it was you that asked for that part, didn't you?
I don't think I'm the type of person who would think that an individual that owes a fine or a civil penalty should be given a benefit.
Well, this was brought to us with requests by some industry folks, and the request was simply to balance out the existing law that allows people to catch up with their property taxes before they register with a temporary plate, to do the same thing for people who have an outstanding fine for a past inspection, turnpike tolls or fees that are outstanding, failure to pay a fine, failure to maintain financial liability insurance. It just allows the sale of the vehicle to go forward on a temporary registration plate, which is 60 days, in which time we hope the individual who has the fine, sometimes they often don't even know they have the fine, they'll be so notified they can get caught up with their fines and penalties. Otherwise, the registration expires in about 60 days.
So, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir. Follow. What purpose, General Rice? Additional questions? Gentleman yield? He yields.
From what you tell me, from what I understand, the law enforcement is going to have another problem. We're going to have a lot of vehicles running around with expired limited tags, and it's going to be like our uninsured motorist problem. We're just building another problem for law enforcement here, the way I look at it. I do not think people who have not been able to pay their fines can purchase an automobile and then go pay their fines. It doesn't make much sense to me. I just don't see that happening.
Well, I would respectfully disagree with my colleague. I think if oftentimes in the running course of life, you maybe receive a notice of a fine or you just forget about it. It's just what happens. And you go to purchase a vehicle, rather than holding up the sale of the vehicle, give you a 60-day, approximately, temporary registration plate to get caught up and pay your fines, rather than having the fines never paid or being out there overdue. It seems to me to make more sense to allow people a grace period to get caught up, and the state gets the money, and the person gets the registration plate. It seems like it's a win-win for everybody.
Representative Speciale, is the gentleman want to direct this question to Representative Luke? Are we good? All right. Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report, Senate Bill 553. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Brendan Jones, aye. John Bell, aye. Clerk will machine record the vote. 84, having voted in the affirmative, 29 in the negative. The House does adopt the conference report to Senate Bill 553, and the bill remains on the calendar. For what purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative John Rice. House Bill 126, the clerk will read.
Representatives Murphy, Dobson, Potts, and Sasser, House Bill 126, Pay Increases, State Highway Patrol, General Assembly of North Carolina Act.
Chair from Union, Representative Arp, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we concur with House Bill 126, conference report.
Gentleman has moved that the House adopt the conference report to House Bill 126. Gentleman has forward debate to motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, the legislative pay increase bill for the State Highway Patrol appropriates in Section 1, $3.6 million in first year and $7.2 million in the second year, which provides for a 2.5% salary increase for each year to a total of 5% over the biennium. It also sets the beginning trooper pay for the differential pay provided there at $45,100, an increase of 2.5%, and then the
46228 for the second year. This is for those who are on the STEP plan up to Master Trooper. Also adds clarifying language on the types of positions in the patrol that are subject can tap into the salary reserve. Additionally, this provides 5 bonus days for the law enforcement officers. And I ask for your support.
For what purpose the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Logan, rise?
Speak on the bill.
Ladies recognize.
See, this is exactly what the governor had. And it's good that the troopers are low in manpower. And exactly what they need. It would have been great if it was more. Our troopers serve 100 counties of this mighty state, over 84,000 miles of roadway. They work 24/7. They do a great job keeping the people safe and those who travel through the state of North Carolina, as most of you know. I serve this state as one of the members of the North Carolina State Highway Patrol, and I thank you, and I thank you on behalf of the members of the North Carolina State Highway Patrol. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
To see if Representative Bowles would yield for a question, please.
Representative Bowles, gentlemen, yield.
My good friend,
he yields.
Yes.
Representative Bowles, do you think my grandson would appreciate this?
I think your grandson and you will appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House, the adoption of the conference report to House Bill 126. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Brendan Jones, aye. Clerk clock machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. The House does adopt the conference report to House Bill 126. Bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 226, clerk will read.
Representative Rena Turner, House Bill 226, pay increases for state employees, General Assembly, North Carolina.
Gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sain, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we adopt the conference report.
Gentleman's moved the House adopt the conference report to House Bill 226, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 226, which considers the pay increases for state employees, Section 1, if you read with me through the bill, appropriates $239.2 million in fiscal year 2019 through 20 and $572.7 million in fiscal year 2021 to implement the salary increases and benefit rate adjustments contained in the bill. Technical reimbursements of funds from insurance and treasury to implement pay increases for employees at these agencies, and it provides a 2.5% salary increase to state employees in state agencies in each year of the 19 through 21 fiscal biennium. With the exception of employees receiving increases in House Bill 609, which is correctional personnel, House Bill 777, SBI, ALE, and House Bill 126, which we just passed, Highway Patrol. Section 3.4A provides administrative office of the courts with $800,000 in salary reserve funds for additional increases to assistant district attorney salaries. Other sections include boilerplate language, included to provide direction on how to administer salary increases, provides 5 bonus days to full-time permanent state employees and state agencies that are not included in House Bill 609, 777, and 126. It sets the salaries related contributions to fund the actuarially determined contributions for the various retirement benefit plans and provides $215,000 to the Office of the State Comptroller for salary increases to employees with SAP software expertise, and then also directs that 0.05% of each agency's estimated payroll be used to fund additional short-term disability benefit requirements. Section 4.1 indicates that the act will remain in effect until the current Operations Appropriations Act becomes law, at which time those provisions would govern. I appreciate your support of the bill.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise.
Speak on the conference report.
Gentleman has four.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to vote for this as well. I'm really glad to see this moving forward today. I understand political rhetoric and sometimes can get a little heated and everything, but throughout this the last 50 days of this back and forth, a lot of people have said that we're holding hostages. And we're not going to be happy until we have to kill one of the hostages. And I've heard all that kind of language from people on the other side of the aisle. It's been very disappointing to refer to it as that. Well, I hope this bill today and when it passes shows you that I'm serious when I say that there is no Medicaid ultimatum. I'm here ready to negotiate, as is the governor, as is my caucus, as is the Senate caucus. And we're not holding anybody hostage. This is something we agreed to 50-some days ago, 51 days ago. I'm glad to see this body finally getting around to it. These state employees deserve these raises. I'm glad they're going to be retroactive to July 1st. I look forward to voting toward this bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of the conference report to House Bill 226. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Brenda Jones, aye. Beasley,
aye.
Beasley, aye. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The conference report to House Bill 226 is adopted. The bill is ordered and rolled, sent to the governor. House Bill 449, the clerk will read.
Representatives Eiler and Torbett, House Bill 449, a bill to be entitled Handicapped and Special Registration Plates, General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Eiler, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I move we adopt the conference report.
Gentleman's moved the House adopt the conference report to House Bill 449, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The bill left here is a simple license plate bill, and a unanimous vote in April, and sat in the Senate for a while. They took out some of the plates that we wanted to have. They had a POW MIA plate and sent it back, and we did not concur. We wanted to add back a couple of the plates that we had, and we did in conference, and added a handicap plate for a registered vehicle owner that's a guardian or parent of a handicapped person. So that is the changes, and I move that we vote green 100% on this bill if possible.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report to House Bill 449. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Potts, gentleman wish to record. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The House does adopt the conference report to House Bill 449. The bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 777, the clerk will read.
Representatives Belk, Gill, Hurley, and Martin, House Bill 777, a bill to be entitled Pay Increases, SBI, and ALE, General Assembly of North Carolina and next.
Gentleman from Guilford, Representative Faircloth, is recognized for motion.
Move the House to adopt the conference report for House Bill 777.
The gentleman has moved that the House adopt the conference report to House Bill 777, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm proud to say that North Carolina has law enforcement officers at every level in this state that many states would love to have. The quality that we have is great. The problem we have is that the market for salaries for law enforcement is climbing across the nation. Recruiting for officers from other states, or recruiting rather, for our officers from other states or from local government for state officers, it's become a problem for our managers in law enforcement. This bill provides raises comparable to what we heard for the State Highway Patrol a few minutes ago. This applies to the ALE law enforcement officers and for the SBI officers. These are very, very highly trained investigators. that have to go into some very tough situations and have to be very good at handling their cases. We need to do everything we can to make sure that we keep the number of recruits coming in. We've seen shortages, not able to fill our recruiting schools. This bill, I'd be glad to go into details, but this bill simply helps solve our problem and get our state on the right level with the salaries for our officers. I do ask you to vote green.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report to House Bill 777. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Shepherd, gentlemen wish to vote on the bill? Clerk will light the machine and record the vote. 114, having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The House does adopt the conference report to House Bill 777. The bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Senate Bill 683, the clerk will read.
Senators Daniels, McKissick, and Heiss. Senate Bill 683, a bill to be entitled Combat Absentee Ballot Fraud, June Assembly of North Carolina Annexed.
Members, we have a number of amendments. The chair is going to go ahead and start taking those up. Representative Beasley is recognized to send forth Amendment AST 81. The clerk will read.
Representative Beasley moves to amend the bill on page 12, line 16, by deleting December 1st, 2020, and submitting June 1st, 2020.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, we had a spirited debate yesterday about voting machines, and this is a result of good faith concerns that were brought up on the floor and some to me personally about the process that we are using for our voting machines. So the two concerns that I heard yesterday were pretty much in these two categories, that there would be a major time crunch if the boards of elections for our local counties would have to create new machine processes in a very short period of time after having several elections in many cases. And the second big category that these fell into was the concern about unfunded mandates. And so what this amendment would do is that it would strike a balance. It would provide a compromise that would recognize that our boards of elections are in many cases stretched thin. If they're in the 3rd district or in the 9th congressional district, they may have as many as 3 elections in the next 2 months. That's a lot for them, and then they would have to turn around and switch out their machines thereafter. So this provides a 6-month extension. The extension would be optional. It would be at the request of local boards. It would make clear that our intent as a General Assembly is that we move to more secure systems that are paper-based. And it would also allow for human-readable receipts to be a key factor in whether or not the State Board of Elections grants any extension. So I definitely look forward to hearing everyone's thoughts, but I think this is a good way for us to bridge the gap on the conversation that we had yesterday. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose the lady from Wake? Representative Dahl, rise.
I rise to tell you I'm not going to put an amendment in today.
Please recognize, debate the amendment.
Even though I was very proud of our bipartisan support we had yesterday, I would like you to vote for my colleague's amendment. And now I'm going to make all of you superheroes. So, with your Board of Elections. So here's my tip to save money and vote for this. We need to save money and have reliable counts and follow our Constitution. We need to use paper ballots and scanners, and I even have Representative Harrison's okay to use paper. For a county of 250,000 voters like Forsyth County, wow, that was hard, which is comparable to Richland County, South Carolina, you will need to spend with the computer voting machines, $8.8 million. And then maintenance cost of $110,000 per year. However, if you use scanners and paper ballots, you only need $1.1 million. So I have now saved y'all $7 million, so I want a green vote for this amendment, and let's move this forward. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, rise.
Speak on the amendment.
Gentleman has the floor.
appreciate what my friend and colleague, Representative Beasley, is trying to do and find maybe a middle path here with the DRE voting machines, the delay of their decertification. I've talked to my local board of director about this proposal, and they assured me that changing in the middle of the 2020 election cycle would actually be more difficult than just staying with the DRE machines and more problematic for them. In elections committee, a number of weeks ago, we did have the new director, Brinson Bell, there, and the question was posed to her by one of the elections committee members of whether or not the extension was a worthy idea or not. And if I recall correctly, she was in support at that time of giving the extension to the counties that requested it for the delay of the decertification of their voting machines. There are a variety of reasons, which we discussed yesterday. My commendation to Representative Dahl for getting a 58-58 vote. I haven't seen that too often here. But nonetheless, you're asking the counties that have pushed legislation that did pass the House, by the way, to the delay of the decertification. You're asking them now to, I think in haste, make a very important decision of one of three voting machine systems, when in fact they know their current DRE machines. They know what to expect. They know how to maintain them. They know how to have them properly calibrated. They know the lifespan available. And instead go into an entirely new set of machines that we as a state have no history with. It seems to me that it would be better to defer to the local boards of elections across our state, 20-plus counties, who are requesting and seeking this delay, to let them have the delay through the 2020 cycle alone, and then they have to replace their machines. And there might even be additional machines that would be certified by that time as well. So as much as I sincerely appreciate the intention of the amendment, I will be voting no, and I would encourage you to do the same.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Union, Representative R. Price?
To speak to the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor.
I too appreciate the spirit in which colleagues have put forth the amendment. Representative Dahl and I, we had a great conversation yesterday and really tried to talk through some of these issues. The problem I have with the amendment is the date of changing the December 1st, 2020 to June. What that does is, in my county, they like to test these voting machines in the primary before they run in the general election. And by forcing the date in between there, you don't have a chance to really test out before the massive onslaught of people coming in. And for that reason alone, I am still against this amendment. I appreciate the idea. It's just that we decouple the transition period of testing out the new machines, and nobody wants to go buy these new machines and run them on the big day in November. And so for that purpose alone, I just ask that you vote down the amendment.
For what purpose the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To debate the amendment.
Lady has four.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, in 2016, the Board of Elections allowed Mecklenburg and other counties that use DREs to use the screen image of the cast votes for their audits. That violates state law. So state law requires that they use the tapes. And I don't know whether that problem's been fixed or not, but I would urge you to vote for this amendment. And let's move to a system that everyone can have complete confidence in.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, rise?
To debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I fully understand the spirit of the amendment, and Representative Beasley, I appreciate you bringing this forward. I think it's a worthy discussion. That being said, I think the bill is proper the way it's currently written. I think counties need additional time. The 6 months, in my opinion, is not long enough. I think the counties need the full year for budgeting purposes and for planning. So with that in mind, I respectfully ask you to vote no on the amendment. Thank you.
What purpose, lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
Thank you. To speak to the amendment.
Lady has the floor.
I really like the amendment, and it is spiritually debated. But may I ask Representative Lewis a question, Mr. Speaker?
I apologize. What did the lady ask?
May I pose a question to Representative Lewis?
Representative Lewis, gentlemen, yield?
Yes, sir. He yields. I've kind of been left out until now.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Lewis, in the debate that we were having yesterday on this issue, can you recollect how many years we have been waiting to make this change with the voting machines?
6 years.
Thank you, sir. And that's
The lady has the floor to continue debating.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And that's my concern, is we keep pushing it back and back and back. And I would say that 6 months is enough time. 6 months is enough time for you to register to college, get orientation on the facility, get your classes and everything else. And we've got to move on. We can't stay stuck in what we know is not working. They say it's insanity to keep doing the same thing over and over. And until we correct the problem, we're going to have issues with the machines because they're outdated. Outdated. They're not doing what the law said they're supposed to do, which we need to be doing for the voters in the state of North Carolina. Now, I understand about a small county, and I understand about a big county. But we cannot keep putting our elections in jeopardy by using machines that are not accurate and are not able to go back and check when you vote. And that's fair to the citizens of North Carolina. We need a paper trail, but we also need good machines that are not breaking down with the humidity, that's not slipping and changing the vote at the end of the ballot, and we're not having to order parts off of eBay for those machines. I ask for your support for the amendment, not for me, not for us in this chamber, but for the voters of the state of North Carolina. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, rise?
If I might ask the amendment sponsor a question.
Representative Beasley, does the gentleman yield?
I do.
He yields.
Representative Beasley, as to Representative Arp's concern, is there any reason that a county could not elect to purchase these machines but prior to a primary and actually test them in the primary?
Thank you for your question. There is nothing to prevent that. And that was actually one of the reasons why I think that this amendment is so very important, is because it recognizes the fact that we have taken the last 6 years to implement this process, and it does provide an optional process. But it also recognizes that we need to make sure that as we are a battleground state, as we go into one of the largest presidential elections, where there are going to be several people voting, if passed as prologue, we're probably going to see turnout in the high 60s or low 70s. So we want to get that more secure process in place before then, but we want to make it very clear that we're providing flexibility to the local BOEs so that they can decide what's best for them and they're not pushed for time. So thank you for your question.
For what purpose, gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Iowa Rice?
To speak on the amendment.
Gentleman has the floor.
I had not intended to speak on this amendment, but the date of the amendment gives me pause. I've seen so many elections in my county. I don't have a big county. I don't have a small county. My county is just right. So that's the way of saying it's average size. Not average, but average size. But the point being, I've seen so many elections where training is a huge issue. I'm concerned my county may get a jump on it and train before the primary. They may wait till after the general. But in the middle, in between, if they train people on one way, which is the, quote, old way, the old machines, DREs, on the primary, and turn around and train the people again on the general election, I've seen so many that the first few days of voting, there are huge problems because, oh, well, they didn't understand that in training. So I think we create more problems by changing in the middle of the year for some counties. Some will get a jump on it, some will wait. If they can't wait, then they've got to change in the middle of the year. The training is going to be huge because the humans are still involved in this process. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
To see if Representative Lewis would yield for a question, please.
Representative Lewis, gentlemen, yield? He yields.
Representative Lewis, if no federal office required to have a runoff, that's April the 21st. And then if there is a federal runoff, that's May the 12th, 2020. So if that's the case, how much time will the Board of Election have if these two secondary primary take place if the date is June the 20th?
Well, Representative Floyd, that question may better be answered by Representative Beasley, but I will take a shot at it. It's my understanding that the dates that you just gave as far as the second primary, those dates are correct. The bill and the amendment, which is seeking to amend the bill, are talking about the dates that the machines would need to be decertified, and so it would be passed the March primary and any subsequent ones that occur.
Follow, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman's recognized.
So we're going to ask the Board of Election to do these, to do the primary, second primary, and I'm just going to use the federal as a third primary, and then certify the machines by June the 3rd.
Representative Floyd, I think, again, you might want to direct this more to Representative Beasley, but it's my understanding that the primaries would be completed by that point. And so, again, you're talking about when you would require new machines to have been certified and put in place. I'm sorry if I'm not answering your question.
Thank you, Mr.
For what purpose, the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison Rice?
To debate the amendment.
He's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I don't want to rehash what I said yesterday. Representative Lewis pointed out that our counties have had 6 years to make this transition. The technology has been out there. What our county was told, what we were told in our delegation, was that the reason why we needed the extension was because there wasn't newly certified equipment, but the State Board certified that equipment last week. They've given the flexibility in the legislation to test this new equipment in a way that will make them available for use in the next election. So I don't think we really have an excuse. And if you had a chance to look at this excellent op-ed that Representative Dahl left on your desk, it was published in the News Observer last week from a lawyer who works on these issues. There's a lack of public confidence in the results from these machines. We heard on Election Day in Guilford County in 2018 Election Day from individuals who voted with these DREs. They pushed one candidate, but that candidate's opponent would show up on the cash register receipt that showed the voting record. And I heard that a lot. So I think that in terms of the importance of this election and the importance of voting security and integrity, that this is a really important compromise amendment, and I would encourage you to support it. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
To ask Representative Harrister a question, please. Will the gentleman yield for a question?
Representative Harrister, gentleman yield? He yields.
I yield. So yesterday, I want some just clarification as we debate this amendment. Yesterday, in Section 9.5A in your amendment, you mentioned that there could be testing the voting systems in at least one of the following ways: during an election or during a simulated election in accordance with standard established by the State Board, and this could happen before December 31st, 2020. Please, could you walk me through how this is applicable or how you're against this particular amendment when your amendment yesterday sort of seems to allow this? Thank you.
Yeah, so I think the problem with this amendment is it would reduce the amount of time that counties would have for the simulated testing. So this amendment would reduce the time by 6 months. I think it'd be best to allow counties to have the full year. The amendment that we voted on yesterday, and thank you for your vote on that, for the simulated testing, gives counties the ability to have another option rather than run testing in an actual election. They can do it in a simulated election. I think the real issue here is that there are some counties that are still using the DRE equipment, and in those counties, the commissioners, in many cases it's bipartisan. In many cases, the local Board of Elections director has confidence in efficacy of those machines. There's budgeting issues that come into play. It varies by county. but I think it'd be best to keep the date December 2031, get us out through the entire election. I just think it provides more time, more flexibility. And so, it will play into the testing, you know, to allow counties to have that flexibility for testing, but I think there's time constraints as well. So it just adds additional flexibility.
Yep. Follow up.
He yields.
Would it be possible, though, under Representative Beasley's amendment, that if they were purchased, that under the simulated election, they could be tested in time? Yeah, I know. I understand the objections to giving more time, but if need be, could they be under the amendment that you passed yesterday?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
To debate the amendment a second time, Madam Chair.
Floor to debate the amendment a second time.
Madam Chair, I asked Representative Lewis for a question. He mentioned twice that I should refer that question to Representative Beasley, so I would like to know if he would yield for a question.
Representative Beasley, do you yield for a question?
I do.
He does. You may proceed.
Representative Beasley, do I need to repeat the question?
No, you were spot on earlier, so I think I got you covered. Thank you, Representative Floyd. So to give you the time frame, under current law, the local boards of elections would have from this November's election until the start of early vote in February, 14 weeks to replace their machines. Under my amendment, they would have, if there was a runoff on the latest possible date, 5 months and 22 days. If there was no runoff, 8 months to replace these machines, to get the process right, to get it squared away, to use the simulation to correct things. So to give you a little bit of perspective, 8 months is quite a bit of time in order to get the processes in place. And it's far more than the 14 weeks that they would get under current law. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, sir.
For what purpose is this gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torben Rise?
I ask Representative Turner a question.
Representative Turner, do you yield for a question?
I yield.
Thank you. Other than this, have you asked any questions about this amendment?
Not yet. I was waiting for the other 119 to get to it.
Besides this one, nor have I. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
For what purpose is the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Friedel, rise?
Speak a second time on the amendment briefly.
You have the floor to speak on the amendment.
Friends, I want to highlight something that's been bandied about 6 years. 6 years. You've heard that mentioned several times. This was a series of extensions that were granted to the counties because the original mandate of a paper ballot was put upon them, even though these counties had several years of useful life back with their machines. So the original delay of, I think, 2.5 years was to give the counties time to get their resources together to go ahead and plan to make the purchase. By the time we got to the end of that 2.5 year period, the conventional wisdom was there's going to be a whole new series of machines coming out. And rather than purchase an older style machine that would likely be obsolete, then another delay was granted. And then we got into the never never land of no machines being certified because of the State Board of Elections being distracted with other serious election issues. So it's not like these counties have been sitting on their hands looking for fun things to do. You're talking about my county. They have been diligent. We have one of the best Board of Elections directors in this state. She's very careful, very diligent, and she has requested this one-year extension to get through the 2020 cycle, and she understands the attempt to try to mediate something here, but she would prefer that they not have to do the training, the installation, the actual pre-purchase testing of the various machines during the 2020 cycle. As much as I respect the purpose of the amendment, I urge you to vote no.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, question before the House is the passage of Amendment 85 to Senate Bill 683 on its third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Humphrey, do you wish to record? Representative Kirk Willock can record the vote. 54 having voted in the affirmative, 58 in the negative. The amendment fails. We're back on the bill. Further discussion? Okay. Representative Hawkins. Representative Hawkins, recognize the send forth an amendment.
I ask that the amendment be withdrawn because it will be covered in conference.
Thank you. Representative Pittman, you recognize the send forth an amendment?
Thank you, Mr.
Clerk
Speaker.
Clerk will read.
Representative Pittman moves to amend the bill on page 8, lines 16 through 17.
Gentlemen, is recognized to speak on the amendment.
Thank you, ma'am. Looking through this bill, I saw that there was an effort to get really strict about some things you can't do with absentee ballots, and most of that I agree with. There were some things like trying to influence or trying to destroy that sort of thing, and some of those were raised to felonies, F or G. Originally, I wanted to raise these offenses here to a G, and I spoke with someone from Representative Lewis's office, and we settled on making it an I felony. The offense that is addressed here is, to me, just as serious as trying to destroy a ballot. You're trying to sell them and that sort of thing. To me, that's just as serious an offense as trying to destroy one. So I wanted to make it equal to that. But we agreed to compromise and make it at least an I felony instead of a misdemeanor. And so I would appreciate it if you would support that amendment. And let's get serious about having some real penalties for meddling with elections like this. So please vote to make these things a felony. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of Amendment A6 on Senate Bill 683. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 71 having voted in the affirmative, 41 in the negative. The amendment passes. Representative Warren is recognized to send forth an amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Warren moves to amend the bill on page 10, lines 23 through 24, by inserting the following between those lines.
Gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, is recognized to speak on his amendment.
Thank you. This is a very simple change. It's if you refer to page 10, line 16 of the bill, it refers to the reinstatement of Saturday voting on the last Saturday. This simply mandates that if when that voting takes place, that all one-stop sites will be open for the same hours, which earlier in the bill dictates that that's 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. And this makes it a uniform opportunity throughout the counties for every constituent to have an opportunity to vote on that last Saturday as well. Appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? Seeing none, question for the House is passage of Amendment A7 on Senate Bill 683. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 109 voting in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. The amendment passes. We're back on the bill now as amended. For what purpose does the gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, rise?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'll change my vote on the Pittman amendment to an aye, please.
Clerk, so be recorded. Further discussion, further debate on Senate Bill 683. Seeing none. Question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 683 on its third reading as amended. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Speaker Boralby, aye. Representative Corbin, aye. Representative Hardister, you've recorded. Representative Garrison, he's not, you wish to be recorded? Clerk will lock and record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative. Senate Bill 683 passes its third reading and will be engrossed and returned to the Senate. House Bill 426. Nope. Stand at ease.
House is going to sit at ease for 15 minutes.
Test. Testing.
The House will come back to order. Mr. Clerk, Chair directs that House Bill 426 be removed from the counter, returned to the Committee on Appropriations. Members, we're joined today by our nurse of the day, Ann Krebick from Sanford. I believe that's correct. Ms. Krebick, would you please stand so we can welcome you? Thanks for being with us today. Ratifications, bills, and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The roll of the clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for properly enrolled and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. House Bill 55, an act relating to vacancies in the Office of Sheriff of Cleveland County. The enrolling clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. House Bill 126, an act awarding legislatively mandated salary increases and special annual leave to law enforcement officers in the State Highway Patrol. House Bill 226, an act appropriating funds for the 2019-2021 fiscal biennium to award public employee benefits increases and legislatively mandated salary increases to the state employees. House Bill 449, an act to authorize the insurance of handicapped license plate registered vehicle owner that is the guardian or parent of a handicapped person and authorize the Division of Motor Vehicle to produce various special registration plates. House Bill 609, an act awarding legislatively mandated salary increases and special annual leave to state adult correctional facility employees. House Bill 777, an act awarding legislatively mandated salary increases and special annual leave to law enforcement officers of the State Bureau of Investigation and Alcohol Law Enforcement.
Chapter bills will be noted. Notices and announcements. If not, the gentleman from Harnett. Oh. What purpose, gentleman from Alamance, Representative Ross Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll make this quick since it looks like I'm the only one today.
I'm recognized.
26 years ago today, on the hottest day of that particular summer, my wife said I do, and I know she's probably downstairs listening right now, so I just want to say happy anniversary, and yes, I would do it all over again. Thank you.
What purpose, the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Faircloth, rise.
Well, point of personal privilege.
The gentleman's recognized.
The news media reported this morning an event that happened on one of the most beautiful college campuses in this country at High Point University. If you haven't visited us, come see us sometime. But they had an event where a student was found on campus with two guns, one pistol and one shotgun, and a plan apparently to do some damage. Now, they do a lot of training with the local police, and they have a security group, security officers there on campus. They're always training their new students coming in what to do, and they talk a lot about if you see something, say something. We've all heard that, and it's rather simple, but in this case, fellow students saw something and said something. So the young man has been charged. He's from out of state. He's a freshman student. He's now been charged with several crimes, and he's under $2 million secured bond. So thank God this came out the right way. And I think it says a lot for cooperating and training that we need to do with each other. Thank you very much.
Any further notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Thursday, August 29th at 9 o'clock a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Presnell, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, August 29th at 9 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned.
Representative Potts is recognized to send forth a conference report to the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conferees appointed to resolve the differences between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 458, a bill to be entitled an act designating Post-Traumatic Stress Injury Awareness Day in North Carolina, establishing a joint legislative task force on sudden cardiac arrest in student athletes, addressing parental consent and the disposition of fetal remains, and authorizing engagement with third-party toxicology laboratories to guide resources. House Committee Substitute Favorable 730-19. House Committee Substitute Number 2 Favorable 85-19. Submit the following report. The Senate and House agree to the following amendments, and the Senate concurs in House Committee Substitute Favorable 730-19. House Committee Substitute Number 2 Favorable 85-19 as amended on page 1, lines 3 through 4 by rewriting the lines to read North Carolina addressing parental, and on page 2, line 12 through page 3, line 8 by deleting the lines. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approved report, August 28, 2019. Conferees for the Senate: Senator Harry Brown, Chair, Senator Burgeon, Senator Rabin, Senator Krawick, Senator Daniel. Conferees for the House of Representatives: Representative Potts, Chair, Representative Lambeth, Representative Dobson, Representative White. The conference report pursuant to Rule 44D will be calendared for August 29th.
Representative Warren is recognized to send forward a conference report. The clerk will read.
To the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives,
The conferees appointed to resolve the differences between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 574, a bill to be entitled, An Act to Establish the North Carolina Gaming Commission, House Committee Substitute Favorable, 7-10-19, 3rd Edition Engrossed, 7-11-19. Submit the following report. The Senate and the House agree to the following amendment to the House Committee Substitute, favorable 7-10-19, 3rd Edition Engrossed, 7-11-19. And the Senate concurs in the House Committee Substitute as amended. Delete the entire House Committee Substitute, favorable 7-10-19, 3rd Edition Engrossed, 7-11-19, and the substitute, and substitute the attached proposed Conference Committee Substitute, S574-PCCS 35345-ST-1. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date: conferees approved the report, August 28, 2019. Conferees for the Senate: Senator Rabin, Chair; Senator Gunn; Senator Daniel; Senator Heiss; Senator Harrington; Senator Blue; Senator Davis. Conferees for the House of Representatives: Representative Warren, Chair; Representative Hardister; Representative Sane; Representative Hunter; Representative Hannig.
Pursuant to Rule 44D, the conference report is placed on the calendar for August 29th.